Last case for argument, United States v. Nguyen. Mr. Bowden.
May it please the Court. Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Kenya Bowden, appearing on behalf of Juan Nguyen. The two issues before the Court.
Is that how he pronounced it? Nguyen?
Nguyen.
Nguyen?
Nguyen,
as in W-I-N?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
A prominent...
I've learned something. Okay.
The two issues before the Court here, Your Honor, are whether or not the Court erred with an upward departure for enhancement for possession of a firearm, and second, whether or not Mr. Nguyen was entitled to a downward departure, a two-point reduction for acceptance of responsibility. On the issue of acceptance of responsibility, Mr. Nguyen had no affirmative duty to make a come clean or to in order to obtain a reduction in this sentence. The issue of acceptance of responsibility relates to cocaine and marijuana. In the case and the sentencing hearing, the state produced witnesses to testify regarding both cocaine and marijuana. Mr. Nguyen, having looked at all the evidence that was presented prior to the plea agreement that he entered into, made a plea to the marijuana without contest or any contradiction to those facts. But the evidence that was presented, both by Mr. Daryl Chapman, a co-defendant, and Ms. Carissa Miller, another co-defendant, we believe did not amount to enough evidence that would prove that Mr. Nguyen indeed dealt in cocaine. And on those points, there was no physical evidence that was produced regarding cocaine. The only evidence of cocaine is the testimony of Chapman. And that evidence comes through Mr. Chapman being pulled over by police after making a controlled buy to a police informant, David Hagen. When that happened, they found cocaine in the possession of Mr. Chapman and Ms. Miller in their vehicle. At that point, they then set up a controlled buy with Mr. Nguyen. They called Mr. Nguyen twice, or Mr. Chapman called Mr. Nguyen twice, on January 6th and January 10th. And during those conversations, or at least he purported in his testimony, he was using code words to signify cocaine versus marijuana. But on the day of the controlled buy, which was 2 days after the last call of January 12th, there was absolutely no cocaine found in Mr. Nguyen's home when the search warrant was executed on January 12th in anticipation of the controlled buy. Further, when they confiscated the articles and the evidence in Mr. Nguyen's home, there was not a trace of cocaine found on any of the scales, on the floor, counters, or anything like that. And the allegations or the testimony made by Mr. Chapman, allegations by the state or the government, was that Mr. Nguyen was involved in producing or supplying Mr. Chapman with bulk marijuana. If he was supplying him with bulk cocaine, there would be some kind of evidence somewhere in his home, or as was purported in the testimony by Mr. Chapman, or in his business, and that was not produced or found. Even with respect to the controlled buy with Mr. Hagen, there was no production of the cocaine that Mr. Hagen had during that controlled buy. It is our contention that without physical evidence and the scant testimony by Mr. Chapman, and I would point out that during the direct examination of Mr. Chapman, the testimony, or at least the answers to the questions by the government, were compound in the sense of, were you dealing in controlled substances? There was no differentiating between whether it was cocaine or marijuana, and he would just answer yes in the affirmative. In order to answer yes in the affirmative, he would answer yes to both. With that, I would go to the issue of possession of the firearm, Your Honor. On the firearm issue, Mr. Nguyen lawfully owned his firearm for 9 years prior to any allegation of any drug dealing. He had a permit issued by the state of Minnesota, and when the conceal and carry law went into effect in Minnesota, he also obtained that. It was testified to by Mr. Chapman at the sentencing hearing that Mr. Nguyen possessed that gun for the purposes of transporting money from his pizzeria. And the gun itself, when it was found stored near the cash register. And what's significant about that point is, under the rules, if he can show that there is a he cannot show there's an improbable reason for him having that gun, then the enhancement would apply. But in this situation, you have someone who lawfully owns a gun before 9 years before any allegations of drug dealing or conspiracy to deal drugs. In addition to that, he has a pizzeria, which is a cash business, and a successful cash business, and he had that gun for those purposes, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Bowden. Mr. Connell?
Good morning. I'm Paul Connell. I'm an assistant U.S. attorney in Madison. I was responsible for the prosecution of the defendant below. Two issues raised here, whether the district court clearly erred when it found that the defendant possessed a firearm in connection with the offense of conviction. That's the first issue. Here, the defendant admitted at sentencing and has admitted throughout the course of this case that he had two different firearms. The district court, at a contested sentencing hearing, heard the testimony of the defendant's co-conspirator, a man named Daryl Miller Chapman. Mr. Chapman testified, actually during cross-exam, and that would be on page 35 of the sentencing hearing, that the defendant's gun was present when the defendant sold him cocaine and marijuana at both his residence and his place of business. The defendant was caught with two different firearms upon one time when he was arrested when the law enforcement officers were executing a search warrant at his home. The defendant was caught with a Taurus firearm on his person in a backpack. As they were arresting the defendant at his place of business that day, the police were searching the defendant's home, and they found at his home a kilogram of marijuana, $116,780 in cash, and digital scales. And the cash is significant because commingled within that money was controlled buy money that was used by law enforcement officers to buy cocaine from the defendant's co-conspirator, leading to the prosecution of his co-conspirator, Mr. Daryl Miller Chapman. The defendant was caught with a second gun, which would be the gun that Judge Shabazz relied on in making the finding at sentencing, and that was a Glock that was found at the defendant's residence on the day of his arrest pursuant to the federal indictment. When he was arrested at his home, he allowed the police to come in. He said he'd like them to lock his house. He gave them permission to go to his room to get keys to the front door. When they went down there, they saw some marijuana in plain view. They then got a search warrant for the home, came back, found marijuana, this Glock firearm next to it, and $14,235 in cash. On this record, the district court did not clearly err in finding, based on Mr. Chapman's testimony and the two guns that were seized from the defendant's person in his residence, that he possessed the firearm in connection with the offense of conviction. And unless there are questions about that issue, I'd like to turn to the acceptance of responsibility issue. Defense counsel argues that this isn't about the defendant doesn't have to come clean, and I agree. However, the court found that he frivolously denied and contested relevant conduct, and that's why he did not get acceptance of responsibility. The defendant challenged everything in the PSR that had to do with cocaine and cocaine sales, and in essence, his argument boils down to the fact that the district court, in making a credibility determination, found Daryl Miller Chapman and his wife, Kristen Miller, credible, and that's found on page 83 of the sentencing, sentencing transcript. Both of these individuals testified about the presence of cocaine, cocaine sales, scales, places where they transacted for cocaine with the defendant. They both corroborated each other's testimony in important respects. Furthermore, there were a couple phone calls placed by Daryl Miller Chapman, acting as an informant for the police after his arrest, where he placed an order for cocaine and marijuana and made a second call to schedule the acquisition of those controlled substances. That's what led to the search of the defendant's residence. Again, based on all that evidence, the district court was well within its right to find that the defendant had denied relevant conduct and therefore did not think he deserved any reduction in his offense level for acceptance of responsibility. If there are any questions from the court, I would ask you to just affirm the judgment and conviction.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Collins. So, Mr. Bodden, your time has expired. Do you have anything further? Okay, well, thank you very much. And you were appointed, were you not? So we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client. And court will be in a recess.